Young entertainment professionals.
People ask about songwriting versus performing all the time, and I don't think I can do one or the other. I think it's one of those things where you write songs and you need people to feel them, and you need to know that they felt them.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast, where we sit down with the people cultivating the entertainment industry and the influence YEP has had on their music industry community. I'm your host, Libby Olerich, and today's guest has spent time curating his songwriting craft from the likes of country, blues, and Americana influences such as Merle Haggard, Ray Charles, and Daryl Scott. Ben Danaher is a Texas native and comes from a musical family, specifically his father, who spent time touring as a singer-songwriter and greatly impacted Ben's decision to pursue that same career for himself. Ben has participated in YEP's Writers' Rounds and got connected with the YEP community through one of our co-founders, Andrew Cohen. In this episode, we talk a great deal about mental health and the industry, a topic we featured in a past YEP Life of an Entertainer event. Ben shares his own experience and perspective on defining success and how other creatives can be mindful of the comparison game. For news on his upcoming tour dates and new music, visit BenDanaher.com. You can also follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now to our episode with Ben Danaher. Ben Danaher.
What's up?
Did you just clap for yourself?
No, I was doing like the scene.
The scene clap.
You know, like before they shoot a movie?
Yeah.
Never mind.
You're living a movie. What kind of movie are you living?
It's a documentary about a guy.
Keep going.
Yeah.
This is good.
Struggling. And I don't know.
How's Carl?
Carl's making it. It's becoming a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Carl's the van. Carl, for people that are listening and don't know.
Carl Vanaher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last time I went on tour, he threw an alternator on me.
Oh, no.
In like Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay.
Which is interesting. luckily, I made it to like 15 miles from the town that my grandmother lived in. Mm-hmm. And so I called my uncle and he came to the Love's truck stop outside of there and we changed it in the parking lot, which is, I was very proud of that one.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Which is funny because my dad was a touring musician and he met my mom in the same area because his car broke down. My dad's from Vermont. My mom grew up outside of Opelousas, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And my dad was driving a Toyota Celica and pulled into the mall parking lot. And my mom came out of the store from her shoe store job. And he said, "Ma'am, do you know how to pop a clutch?" And she got in the front seat and he pushed the car and she popped the clutch. And then they started hanging out and that's how they met. And like I had my uncle Randy.
That's the movie.
Yeah,
that we were talking about from the get go of this episode.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So yeah.
Well, so I know that your dad has inspired a lot of your music that you've written. So can you get into that a little bit before?
Sure. Yeah, he was a songwriter and toured and made albums, and so we always had like music equipment at the house, and it was kind of ingrained in our upbringing. All my family played. My brother played drums. My other brother played guitar. And so that was, you know, by association, I was in the band before I even knew how to play the instrument. So, yeah.
You knew the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, it was truly inspiring as far as like to cut your own path. You know, that's like being a musician is not something that like anybody tells you that you should do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, people might say, "Oh, you have a cool voice," or you should do music, but that usually fizzles out after it gets hard.
Right.
But like once you bypass that, like that was what was really inspiring about my dad was he had a lifetime of it. And it was, there wasn't a lot of people going, "Keep going," you know, like not that they were telling him to stop, but it just,
there wasn't a community like maybe you would say that you have here in Nashville, would you say? Like,
No, I mean, I wasn't trying to allude that he didn't have that support system, but yeah, I'm grateful to have that here. Mm. But I just feel like it was inspiring to see somebody just keep trucking.
Gotcha.
After years and years and years of being told no, you know?
Right. So can you dig into more of your experience of like building your career, doing basically everything from marketing yourself, writing songs, recording, touring.
Yeah.
Just kind of what went into that, what you learned early on and what you look back and that you're thankful that you experienced.
Sure. Yeah. I'll kind of fast track it. I went to college in San Marcos, Texas, and started playing gigs around there. My brother was playing guitar for a guy named Pat Green, who was kind of on top in Texas at the time. So I got a really good dose of grassroots marketing and how to like build a brand without a record label that way. I was like, I got to see somebody actually be really successful at that. When I started writing songs and playing, I didn't really fit into his format of things. I banged around Texas for a little bit trying to find a place and it didn't really fit. There was a guy named Alan Shamblin who is a big mentor to me. He's from the town I grew up in, Huffman, Texas. Mm-hmm. And he kind of talked me into moving up here. It was like all of songwriting business and people who are taking it seriously live here. And so I moved up here, and I think in the first couple months, I thought I was going to try to just come in and get a publishing deal, and that was going to be, like, my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I was expecting it to come easy, but it was like, you know, you write a lot of sad songs. It's hard to get people on board unless you're, like, a pop writer or, like, you're writing singles or if you had something going on already. And so, I was getting the pat on the head and move along, and that was fine. And I started looking at people that I admired the most, and it was guys like Daryl Scott or Bruce Robinson or Radney Foster. And they're amazing songwriters. They had integrity. They did what they wanted to do. They made records like Patty Griffin, Laurie McKenna. And they may not get 100 cuts a year, but they're making records and people are going and buying those records, or bigger artists are recording songs off of those records because they've created such a brand of songwriting. Or Travis Meadows is another example of that. But, and so I kind of had this like epiphany of that. Like I'd rather put my energy into that notion than to try to go find a record label to like have me, you know.
Right.
It's like I might as well just like create this own thing for myself, and then if you like it, great. If you don't, I'm still gonna tour and I'm still gonna play music and I'm still gonna try to have a career at this outside of whatever you think the norm of whatever everyone else should be doing.
And I'm sure like with that probably would come too with people I guess stumbling across your Instagram profile,
mm-hmm.
and not really thinking about, well, what is he signed to? Oh, mm-hmm. he's already got a brand established, and they're going to be really looking at that.
I don't know. I still struggle with the branding part of it. It's hard. I've had a lot of people help me over the years with the social media stuff. It's like,
it's tough for everybody. Like you just don't, it changes. It's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tricky game, and it's a frustrating game, you know? Yeah. It's hard to do that.
Do you ever take time away from it, like when you're creating for a project or when you're...
I should, because it, your mental health, like, suffers, I think, when you're, like, so far in it, you know? We were just talking about going to on-site.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest takeaways I had from going to that program was that you give your phone up for a week, and I left there just like... holy moly, I'm a totally different person. You just felt lighter because like it's whether you want to or not, you're going to compare yourself to everyone else that's doing things. And with music, it's such a tight circle, you know, and you know everybody and you know the background of everybody's teams, you know? And so it's like,
and I noticed like even the friend groups that mm-hmm. interact with each other mm-hmm. on, and I don't say that in a way of like that's bad,
sure.
but it's like, you know, so-and-so's friends with so-and-so and they're like, mm-hmm. they're doing stuff together all the time or like they're creating this or like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets to be where you start going, well, how did this person get this thing? Or how did this person, and, you know,
right.
and that takes you completely out of your creative space or your game or your work, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's hard.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about your Yep involvement a little bit, the writer's rounds that you were in, and mm-hmm. then even like as far as to getting to know Andrew? And
Yeah. Andrew, I met him kind of before I moved here. He was working at a booking agency that booked me. And he's one of those guys where you're like, he knows everyone. And like, if you have any kind of concern, issue, or if you need anything, he's like my first call. Like, it's like, hey, who do you know here? Automatically knows somebody somewhere. And so he kind of connected me into Yep. And they had a couple writers rounds at like the basement and the listening room. And those are great. I felt like every time I played one, some kind of writing opportunity evolved from it, or a publishing meeting. For a while, I was like, I was trying to book a writer's round every couple of weeks, because I felt like every time I got on stage, something shook loose, you know, like, and not like big opportunities at the time, but like more movement than just going to work, you know, and like talking to the people that you wrote with every day.
Right.
And so it was good. It's good networking kind of thing.
What did you enjoy about like the network that you met through Yep? Like the people that you, like, did you meet people that you would have never met otherwise?
Yeah, I would say so. Some of them I knew just by association. Like, Andrew's got a really great friend group that I already kind of knew some of that crew. Mm-hmm. But there were definitely artists that, like, I wouldn't have had any business being in the room with unless it was that. I ended up on a slow pitch softball team with about four other writers who got signed to big deals. And it was like, this is how Nashville works, you know? It's like, you know, I talked about my dad writing songs and trying to get songs recorded on other people's records. You know, he lived in Houston. It was almost like being on an island when you're concerned with like meeting other people hearing your music. Like, I got on the slow pitch softball team with some of these Yep people, and it was like, before I knew it, you know, two of them got signed to Universal, four of them had publishing deals, and it's like, you're already writing with these people, and it just, you're just planted yourself into a situation that could allow you to be successful.
Which makes it a little bit more organic, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the music, mm-hmm. about the touring, what that's been like for you, what mm-hmm. you've learned through like the whole performance aspect mm-hmm. of what you do.
Yeah. It was a pretty big year for me touring. I hadn't done that much in a long time. I put out a record in September, and so we pushed really hard for as many shows as we could. Touring is funny. It's such a push and pull, you know. Every time I get on stage, I need it. You know, people ask about songwriting versus performing all the time. And I don't think I can do one or the other. I think it's one of those things where you write songs and you need people to feel them, and you need to know they felt them. And like, so for me, you know, example, I lived in Vermont for a summer with my grandmother, mm-hmm. and I wrote like 12 songs for a new record, and I kept calling Alan going, man, I feel like I'm getting worse at songwriting, because nobody was hearing them but my grandmother, and she loved everything. But and then I played one show, and instantly it was like, you got your groove back, because you just felt it, you know, like there's mm-hmm. There's like an unexplainable feeling of being on stage and performing. We did a lot around the record release. And then I, you know, pushed for as many shows as I could, and just got.
Didn't you tour with Lori McKenna?
Yeah, I did. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
she was about as awesome as you would expect.
And that new album is like,
yeah,
love it.
That situation in particular, I felt like was a miracle for me, because I was supposed to go on a European tour with mm-hmm. Wade Bowen, and Wade is like one of my best buds, and. He a week before we left, he had a vocal cord surgery.
Mm.
And
oh, wow.
So I had booked a bunch of flights, and we were all ready to go. And Beth Laird had emailed me and was like, hey, would you be interested in touring with Lori on this week? And she goes, oh, wait, I see that you're going to be in Germany. And I was like, no. Like,
I was like, not going to be there.
That got canceled today. And so
right now.
I booked a one-way flight from London back to Boston, rented a car, wow. and did that tour. And it really pulled me out of like a dark spot. Not that like anybody
like
else
like
was responsible for it. It just was a tough go in Europe without, like, all of our gigs mm-hmm. got canceled. And so I was like,
what?
I had basically two shows and like $2,500 worth of flights to make sense of. And so Lori was like a godsend, and she could not have been sweeter to me. It was amazing.
I love her.
Yeah, me too.
What have you got going on now with projects?
Yeah.
Touring? You have a couple dates scheduled.
Yeah, I'm going on a five-show tour with Aaron Lewis, and mm-hmm. then I just started working with a new booking agency, and so we're working on more dates in the fall. And I got recording 6 new songs. I'm going back on the 29th to start cutting again. And so I'm excited about that. And so we're putting the hammer down.
Yes. Where can people find your music?
Yeah, all the socials. We'll have all the info on it. It's Ben Danaher Music. Or I'm sorry, Instagram is Ben Danaher Music, and then just BenDanaher.com.
Well, before we close out, you got to tell me one of your mentors that you look up to and what they've taught you.
Yeah. I mean, outside of my dad, definitely Alan Shamblin has been the one. Mm-hmm. He's just got like the most pure take, I think, on creating music. And like, I was very lucky to see that first and not get here. And like, not that I think I would have gotten tangled up in trying to chase dollars, but his game is not like that. Mm-hmm. It's all about writing the song first and then figuring out whatever later, you know?
Yeah.
One of the best pieces of advice he ever told me was that your next song is going to be your best booking agent. It's going to be your best publisher. It's going to be your, you know, your best record label. And it's true, because you get in it, and even if you get those things, even if like the biggest record label in town decides to work with you, if you don't have a song, you don't have anything. And that's, was the best thing anybody could have told me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of his songs that you love that he's written? Oh,
yeah. He just wrote a song on Carrie Underwood's new record called The Bullet.
I've heard that. It's amazing.
You better be careful when you listen to it. It's like Natalie Osborne showed it to me in a publisher meeting. I was like a puddle. It was like so bad. That was good. I know I've always been a fan of I Can't Make You Love Me, which is like,
oh, yeah.
That song's been recorded by over 500 people. And like, The House That Built Me is a great one. Yeah. He's the jam. He's awesome.
For sure. Well, hey, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Libby.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast. For news on upcoming events, our newsletter, and how you can get involved, visit yepnashville.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search at Yep Nashville. I'm your host, Libby Olerich, and until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.